There is more than a verbal tie between the words common, community, and communication. Try the experiment of communicating with fullness and accuracy some experience to another, especially if it be somewhat complicated, and you will find your own attitude towards your experience changing. And this week's opening quote comes from John Dewey. Welcome to Surviving the Matrix, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Maxwell Egan. It's a pleasure to be with you once again, and I will be your host for the next hour. And what an interesting week this has been, folks, with the attacks in Brussels, and I will get to that in a little while. But just in general, things are most certainly going ahead in leaps and bounds in the world today, folks, most certainly here in Australia. As I reported last week, the police state is most certainly coming online here in Australia. As you remember last week, I was quite horrified by the legislation which banned people from protesting and basically delivered out a sentence of 7 years jail for anyone who protested a coal mine or a gas well. And what we've seen since then, since the Brussels attack, of course, or actually right in line with the attack in Brussels, was the introduction of legislation in New South Wales which gives the police the ability to ban people from public places. They're saying this is being done to combat organised crime, of course, and to keep the people safe, but really it's just giving the police the ability to ban people from public places. And that's really another right that has been lost by the Australian people, by the Malcolm Turnbull regime. Of course, this wasn't done actually by Malcolm Turnbull. It was done by the Prime Minister of New South Wales, Mr. Baird. But it is in itself an act of treason, just being able to prevent people from going into public areas. I mean, these are public areas and the people are the public, and the public do not employ the politicians to give them the ability to ban them from public areas. This really doesn't make a lot of sense at all, especially when they're saying it's being done to combat organised crime, which makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. But again, folks, that is the police state that is being ramped up in Australia. Of course, we're going to see more of this around the world in the wake of the Brussels attack. There has been already posturing. There has been rhetoric sprouted by the media almost instantaneously. They were talking about tougher measures towards countries such as Pakistan. They're immediately talking about less sympathy towards refugees, of course. We saw that on the line. We called that that was going to be one of the results of this. And they called for more data collection, of course, more police, of course, tougher security, of course, more protection and closing down of borders, of course, and basically everything you need to just escalate the police state a little bit more. And of course, as usual, the forces or individuals responsible for the bombing in Brussels obviously did so because they wanted to increase the police state in Western countries, because that is the only obvious result of this very, very obviously staged attack. Again, folks, this has all been carefully planned and carefully orchestrated and very, very predictable. I actually called this in interviews about a year ago when I said, just watch what happens to Europe and how they will be staging terrorist attacks in strategic areas around the continent. And of course, it's happening right on cue. See, the more people protest, you know, you saw these protests in France and people protesting the police state. So of course, they've got to stage an attack like this just to let you know that we really need the police state. And not only that, but we're going to be ramping it up a little bit more just to keep you safe. That's the way they do it, folks. It's a tried and true mythology, Hegelian dialectic. It works every time. Well, I don't think it's working that well anymore, because I think a lot of people are actually waking up to the fact that they're being played on all these occasions. I must say people are certainly waking up here in Australia, but of course I don't think they'd be given a choice. They really have to wake up because the police state is coming so much online and is so much in their face now that you really can't help it. You can't help but see it. And you can't help but question the actions of the government. Even people who don't normally question what the government's doing are, in fact, quite concerned at the way things are going in this country. But, of course, being concerned about it and doing something about it are two completely different things. The question is, what should we do and what can we do? Well, as I've often said, folks, the power of a united community could achieve wonders. The problem is that we are simply not able to unite our community. There's so much division in our community at large. People just don't seem to know how to really form any type of cohesive action group. Maybe it's the fluoride, maybe it's the lithium, maybe it's the vaccinations, maybe it's what they put in the food, but people know that there's a problem and they will complain about it, but then they kind of just mill about like sheep in a pen. And unfortunately, that's really what we're seeing. We're not seeing anyone form any type of decisive action. We're not seeing anybody mounting any challenges against the government. We're not seeing anybody mounting any challenges against the council. I've been recommending that people go to their local councils for many years now. I've been recommending that people get involved in their local community, break down the barriers with the people around you so that when a time like this comes, you already have these close ties with people and you are able to therefore stand up against this system in some type of cohesive, coordinated response. And because it's the entire community standing up, then the police have no choice but to really listen. I mean, as much as these people like to follow the orders of the politicians and they're trained to follow the orders of the politicians, if the entire community stands up, then there's very little that the police can do about it. And I'm sure many of the police will break ranks at such a time as well, because they're going to realize that what they're doing is oppressing the entire population of their country according to the will of a very, very few people who sit at the top. And it is these people, it is these governments who are most definitely staging all of these terror attacks around the world, ladies and gentlemen, really. This isn't being done by Muslim extremists. It's being done by whoever it is who wants to lock the Western world down into a police state. And who would that be? And that would be all of our governments. The problem is that people don't realize that really we've already got a one world government here as far as the West goes anyway. And really it's all controlled and governed by the very same people irrespective of who is actually put in charge in your country. They all work for the bankers at the top, folks. That's really where the food chain leads to, and it's the same in every single country in the Western world. And everything just seems to be happening according to plan, folks. They were quite behind for a lot of their plans for a long time, and they still are quite behind in their plans, but they are certainly making up for it at the moment because things are ramping up incredibly quickly in all of our countries. I was speaking to someone in Thailand, and it's the same there. It's the same in Indonesia. We're seeing a massive ramping up of police presence in Indonesia. Of course, we're seeing it in all of Western countries in the wake of the attacks in Paris and now in Brussels, and of course we will see more attacks because they will need to stage more yet. So we are really seeing it come online in leaps and bounds in all Western countries. And people would say, why Brussels and why now? Why has it been done now and why did they pick that place? Well, of course, you've got to take into account that Brussels is kind of the unofficial head of the EU. That's where all the main meetings take place. Most of the important stuff seems to take place in Brussels. A lot of people call it the New Rome, for example. And also, there was a threat that was made by Benjamin Netanyahu recently. Of course, Brussels was speaking out against Israel's actions, and Israel kind of warned them and said the rest of the EU needs to put pressure on Brussels for them to change their opinion towards Israel. And, you know, all of these things support what the Israeli agenda is. They all support the Kalugi plan. They all serve to escalate the war on terror, the war in the Middle East, which is essentially a war for greater Israel. Let's not forget that I think it was in December 2015, Brussels also said that they were going to withdraw support for Israel. They were going to stop sending bombs down there to them. There was also a report that came out, I think it was in the Jerusalem Post, where a Israeli foreign minister actually said that this attack was the result of them putting labeling on Israeli products that come from settlements on their stores. They said they were paying too much attention to labeling their products and not enough attention to Islamic extremists. Of course, the word Islamist has been bandied about instantaneously as soon as the blast went off. When, you know, these attacks are nothing to do with Islam. And even if they're terrorists, I mean, shouldn't you first establish who the terrorists are before you start talking about their religious persuasion? That would sort of make a lot of sense to me. But it's always Islamist, Islamist, Islamist. And as I've said so many times, whoever's carrying out these attacks, these are not Islamists. And if it is anything to do with Islam, then it is this Wahhabist Takfiri version of Islam, which is a Western creation, which comes out of countries such as Saudi Arabia. And it isn't your normal version of Islam. So, you know, people really need to look at this, folks. All of these attacks happen, and they all serve the globalist agenda. They all happen right on cue, and they all bring in the laws that the globalists want to bring in. And that's the way you have to look at it, because that is the way it is. There also seems to be a lot of evidence that this was carried out by Mossad and CIA, and that's just the way it always is. Now, you've got to look at history, folks, and you see how many false flag attacks have been staged, how many have been staged by Mossad, and you know, you really start to see this agenda, and it becomes very, very predictable. I haven't heard yet whether there's been any passports found, but it wouldn't surprise me if there is still some passports found, although that may be getting a little old for them. They may not be able to continue to explain how these terrorists always seem to have these bomb-proof passports. So maybe that one's wearing a little thin and we won't get any passports from this event. I mean, that would be disappointing, wouldn't it? Perhaps these supposed terrorists forgot this vital piece of identifying equipment when they went to bomb the places that they allegedly bombed. Because after all, folks, it seems to be standard at every terrorist event to find a passport. We'll just have to wait and see, or perhaps I've missed it and they've found one already. Who knows, folks? Who knows? In displays as theatrical as this, I would suggest that just about anything is possible. And of course, all the hallmarks of a hoax are quite visible in these attacks as well, folks. It should be noted that the bomb went off at 9:11, and the blast happened on the 22nd of March, March 3rd, 3:22, Skull and Bones, and it also happened on the day when they were due to hold talks on Palestine in Brussels. That information was sent to me by a friend on Facebook, so I appreciate that information. And it's quite interesting, folks. When you look at these events, you really can see them for their theatrical nature. And it's really important to see the theatrics in all of these events, folks, because that's what it is. It's theatre for the masses. It's about ramping up the system, but it's also about instilling terror into people as well, and instilling fear into people. They have to get people scared of a terrorist hiding around every corner and get people used to doing what they're told. Even in Australian schools here, there's been some very insidious activity going on that I've heard from many young parents that I know. There's been many bomb threats made to Australian schools recently. Apparently there's one every week. There's a bomb threat made to a school somewhere in Australia. I don't know who's doing it, but every one of these calls is a hoax call. And what is happening is the school is going into lockdown. The schools are ringing the parents and saying, okay, there's been a bomb threat to the school and the school is now in lockdown. Do not come to the school. We're keeping your children safe. And all the children are put into lockdown in the school. They're all made to hide under their desks and go through this whole duck and cover routine that they used to do back in the nuclear fear age. And this is happening in Australian schools all around the place. So if you are an Australian, I suggest you ask your children if there's been any bomb scares at their school and whether the teachers have put them into lockdown, whether they've had to get down and do the whole duck and cover thing, and just see what is being instilled into your children, because I wouldn't even be surprised if it was part of the government plan just to make these hoax calls, just to put the children in fear, just to get this programming into the minds of the people. I mean, it's a pretty sick thing to do, whoever's doing it, but this appears to be happening, and I would not be surprised if it's happening in other countries as well. You know, it's very important that people pay attention to what is being taught to their children at school and what is going on with these kids when they're out of the prying eyes of their parents, what the schools are doing to them, what sort of programs the teachers are instilling into these children, because it's a very, very important time for kids' lives at school, and they're very, very impressionable, and I think it's important that people pay attention to what is happening to their kids at school and just ask them about these sorts of things and find out what's really going on there. You know, I truly think this is an important time in history, folks. I really do. I think it's time that we all pay attention. I really wish people would put down all of their stuff. I really do. I wish people would stop squabbling and fighting amongst each other. And I know the frustration levels have been building up for everybody, and it's been the same for me. Some of you may have heard the rant that I posted the other day, which was a post-show rant that I did on Truth Frequency. This was just to relieve the frustration. And just to clear it up, folks, how that ended up being posted was that I forgot to edit the end of the show off the MP3 when I uploaded it to the Crow House. And so I was contacted by a few people who'd heard it and said they loved the off-air banter, and I couldn't figure out how they'd heard it. And when they told me, I thought, oh my God, I better go and delete that. But then after a few people had heard it, they said, no, you shouldn't delete it, you should post it, because it's good to let the frustration out, and it's good for people to see that there is a real you inside there as well. So I apologize for the strong language in that release, folks, but It was just something that I had to let out. There's been people out there that have been making large numbers of false accusations about me, calling me a government-paid operative and threatening me with jail time, in fact, which is a pretty despicable thing to do. And after all of the months of death threats and attacks and personal attacks and hate mail from flat earthers, and after the recent death of my father, I just felt like I needed to let off a little bit of steam and respond to some of this stuff, and so I did so. But as I said on the video, folks, that will be my first and final say on the matter. I really do not wish to enter into any of these tit-for-tat online exchanges that many people seem to want to set up, because I think it's very distracting from the matter at hand, which I think is the ruling parasites who are attempting to lock the world down into a police state and kickstart World War III. I think that deserves a little bit more attention than squabbling and infighting. And as I said before, folks, I really do think we are going to see a further ramping up of things from this point. The attacks in Brussels are most certainly going to take things to the next level. And it's going to be right across the board in all of our countries. I'm heading back to Peru in a couple of weeks, so it'll be interesting to see if there's any repercussions there. I doubt that there really will be in Peru. But from Peru, I'm actually heading to Philadelphia to the Free Your Mind conference. So I'd like to mention that. If there's anybody out there, please do come and say hi. I'll be speaking at the Free Your Mind conference on the 17th of April. And from there's another gig that I'm doing up in Ohio. It's a farm festival. I'll see if I can get a link for you and post soon. I'll post a banner for it on the Crow House if I can get one. And that's on the 29th of April. I'll be in Ohio. There may be a few gigs that I'm doing around Ohio from around about the 25th as well. There may be a few small appearances that I'm doing in various places around the area. So maybe we can catch up and have something a little bit more personal, a bit more of a close chat, something a bit more friendly rather than just a big presentation. And from there, I go to AV7 in England, and I'll be speaking there on the 13th of April. And from there, I go to the Open Mind Conference in Amsterdam, and I'll be speaking there on the 21st of April. So please do keep those dates in mind. I just thought I'd put that out there early in the show just to get the message out. To be honest, I feel a little bit apprehensive going to Europe at this time, and, you know, with everything going on there, with the attacks in Brussels and just everything else that's going on in Europe. So it will be interesting to go there and see the situation firsthand. But again, it's kind of a little bit of an apprehensive thing being here in Australia and in the comfort of the Amazon in Peru to have to go to the United States or Europe, especially Europe. So it'll be interesting, folks. So I'm not really feeling good about it, but it'll be interesting to check it out anyway. It's really interesting, folks, that I do so much traveling now, because when I was younger, I was a musician and I did nothing but traveling. That's all I ever did. And I gave up being a musician because I really got sick of traveling, and I became an activist out of necessity. And then suddenly it seems that being an activist means that you have to be subject to a great deal of traveling. So I seem to have spent most of my life in an endless succession of airports. It's an interesting way to have lived. And it does get a little bit frustrating, folks. I mean, it's nice going places. It's nice meeting people. It's nice being there when you get to places. But I'm very, very tired of traveling, because I've most certainly had years and years of it. Even when I was a child, getting a little personal here, folks, but even when I was a child, my father actually ran an airport when I was a child. And my mother and father were divorced. So when my father used to babysit me, he used to take me to work, and I used to hang around the airport all day. And if he was too busy, because he was the senior operations commander of the airport, he used to just give me to a flight attendant, and the flight attendant would fly me to Sydney and hand me over to another flight attendant who would then fly me back to my hometown. So that's just kind of the way it used to work. I used to go to Sydney or Melbourne or Brisbane or Kangaroo Island or just somewhere that would take a certain amount of hours to get me back, which would be around about the time my father knocked off. So this was what I used to do in my childhood. I actually used to sit in the little jump seat behind the pilots in the cockpit. When you first walk into the cockpit, although I think it's called the flight deck now, we have to be politically correct, of course, with these things and use soft language, like George Carlin said. So I used to go into the flight deck, and there's actually a seat that folds down behind the pilots, and I used to sit in that chair and watch the pilots operate, which was pretty cool when I was a five-year-old kid. But and by the time I was 10, I really got sick of doing flights on aircraft when my father was too busy to look after me at the airport. And then when I left school, of course, I became a musician and started travelling everywhere and spent most of my time in travel situations and airports and bus stations and roadhouses. And now, of course, I seem to spend most of my time in airports. It's interesting how it works out, isn't it? Getting a little personal there, folks. Just thought I'd sidetrack for a moment. But yeah, while I am on the topic of travelling, it will be certainly interesting to be doing a road trip from Philadelphia up to Ohio. It'll be interesting to see the place and see the country and meet the people along the way. So I'm very much looking forward to that one. I think it's going to be a great journey. It's also going to be very interesting for me to see the United States from the inside and to see the mood of the people there. It's going to be great to meet some of the fans of the show and some of the activists in the area, but it's going to be great just to see the overall mood and to experience what's really going on there for myself. Although I'm certainly not looking forward to whatever experience it may be with the TSA. I've heard so much stuff about them, so it'll be interesting to see what the experience is actually like. Though, of course, I'm sure it's not going to be the highlight of the journey. It's a very interesting situation in the United States at the moment with the election that's coming. The election is really like Spinal Tap. It's not like any election that I've seen before. I mean, really, when you look at the candidates, they're all completely suspect. I mean, at the moment, you've got Donald Trump is probably actually the best pick. I mean, he's certainly better than Hillary Clinton. But then when you look at Donald Trump, he completely supports Israel and he wants to build a wall around the country. And he just said after the attacks in Brussels that if there's an attack in the United States, then he's prepared to waterboard everybody. So that doesn't really sound like someone who is stable enough to be running a country at all. So what choice do you have? I mean, it's a pretty desperate situation in the United States when you've got people like Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump as your main contenders for president. So God knows where things are going to go in the next couple of years in that country. Probably good that I'm going there early, folks, to get in there before the election and get out before the election before the whole place implodes. But I guess it's just imploding in line with everywhere else. Everywhere else seems to be imploding as well. Australia is definitely set for a fall. I really think we're going to see some sort of an economic turmoil happen here, and it'll be interesting to see how that goes. Hopefully these sorts of things, though, will serve to rally the people and will serve to cause the people to stand up and actually support each other. You know, very much in times of crisis, we see people rally together, you know, when you see an earthquake or a disaster. So hopefully we'll see that sort of a thing in times of economic crisis as well. Hopefully the people of this country will realize that money's fiction and that the infrastructure and the food and everything they need is actually all still there. All they have to do is keep using it, regardless of the government telling them they can't. And that's usually the problem. The government says, oh, all the services has to stop now because we've just turned the value of money off. But they don't really have to do that. The whole thing is a scam. All of the resources and all of the services and everything, all the goods, everything's still there. All the people have to do is support each other, and they can usually get through such times of crisis. It's just how the people play it and what's in the people's hearts. Of course, we're seeing the people's hearts corrupted very much by the system. People have become very self-serving. Not that they can help it. It's just the way our society is structured, because you keep people in a state of scarcity and they become very competitive and they start hoarding things up for themselves, and that's just the way it goes. So there is a little bit of that. But hopefully we will see those barriers break down when it really comes to the crunch. Although hopefully it won't come to the crunch. Hopefully we will stand up before then. And that is still my great hope. As I mentioned on the show last week, you know, it's really all about processing light, folks. That's really what it's about. You know, all information is simply light streaming into the organism. That's what it is. Everything that exists is light and sound. All physical matter. Every manifestation of reality is light and sound. Every thought that you have, every thought process you have, every emotion that you feel, every experience that you feel, everything that you process in your head, it's a matter of movements of light and sound. All of it. It's all energy. And ultimately, when you get down to reality on an energetic level and you look at what it's made of, it's made of waves of light and sound. Photon light and phonon sound. That's what we've got. That's all we've got, really, when you get down to a basic level. So it's about how to process that light. That's the important thing. You know, when you get information and you deem it as negative, it's because you're not processing it in the right way. Even stuff that you perceive to be negative gives you the opportunity for change. It gives you the opportunity to improve the problem that you've just become aware of. The question is how to improve it. And really, when you look at it, you look at the human race, it's almost like a chess game, like a puzzle. It's like a Rubik's Cube, finding the way out of this mess. You know, it's all an emotionally based reality, and it's what emotions we apply to the situation. That's what's so wrong with this whole division mechanism that's in place now with the flat earth debate and the globe earth debate. It's actually the perfect divisive mechanism to apply to a community with a conspiratorial mindset. Because really, when you look at it, folks, it's a problem that can never, ever be answered. Ultimately, when you look at it, there are five models that have been put forth for what this Earth is. One of the concepts is that the Earth is in a heliocentric model. It's a globular Earth that orbits the Sun. There's a lot to support this model, but it doesn't answer all the anomalies, and there's nothing that can support it 100%. Another concept is that there's a stationary globular Earth in which the heavens orbit the Earth, a geocentric model in which the Earth is still a globe. There's a lot to support this concept, but nothing to support it 100%. Another concept is that the Earth is flat, and that everything orbits the heavens above in a dome. There's a lot to support this concept, but nothing that can confirm it 100%. There's also other models put forth, such as the concave Earth. There's a lot to support this model, but again, there's nothing to support it 100%. There's also the concept of a hollow Earth, and there's a lot to support this model, but nothing that can confirm it 100%. And that's the point. There is nothing that can confirm anything 100%. There is no model which can answer all of the anomalies that are there. There are certain models which you can tick off certain anomalies and which will explain certain things and certain aspects, but there is no model that has been put forth that can explain things 100%. And that is why it is a moot point. It's a moot argument. It is an argument that has raged since the dawn of time, an argument that has not, cannot, and will not ever be answered until mankind establishes the freedom to actually find out. And the divisive mechanism is the fact that each side constantly asks the other to prove their case when neither case can be proven. And that's the problem with that argument, and that's why it is such a divisive mechanism, because people on all sides of debate always state absolutes when nothing is absolute, because no model can be proven 100%. And that's why it annoys me when I get hate mail, because I simply won't take a position. But the fact is that I won't take a position because I can't, because I do not believe that there is enough for me to actually form a 100% concrete opinion on any model that has so far been offered. And that's my position on that, folks. And hopefully that is the last time I will ever have to talk about the globe earth and flat earth debate. But I think it's break time now, folks, so I'll leave it there for now, and we're going to have a break, and I'll speak to you again in a few minutes. Thanks for listening. And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. So, folks, I believe the human race to be very special. I really do. I believe we are a special creation. And I believe that we are here for a special purpose. This may sound a little esoteric for people, but this is just what I believe through my experiences, through meditation, through some of the experiences I've had in life. These are the things that I attempted to encompass in my film, The Awakening, that I put out in 2009. I think that we are here for a special purpose. I think that we are here to experience ourselves and the human experience to the greatest creative potential that we can reach. I think our creative potential is off the charts. I really do. I think that if we were a cooperative species, we would be free to create a reality that is not even something we can imagine. I mean, I really do believe our creative potential is off the charts. We can't even begin to imagine the things that we are capable of. But we have been so confined in what we believe is possible, so confined in our belief systems. We've been taught to believe that we're not as powerful as we are, and we've been divided so effectively. And the division is incredibly rampant at the moment, where there is so much division in the world today. There is so much division being promoted by this fake war on terror, this whole threat of Islamic extremism, this whole pitting of East against West, all of which is fiction, all of which is contrived. And there's so much division within our societies, within our social systems, and just our normal everyday life. But also within the response to the system, there has been so much division inserted into the response to the system. As I was saying, with the flat earth, globe earth debate. And again, this is a circular argument that can never be answered. There's no way to ever prove what the shape of this construct is to a degree where it becomes absolute. And there's absolutely no way to confirm what is actually going on here until we've established the freedom to find out. And that's why it's a circular argument that can never be answered, especially when, as I said, each side demands the other side prove their case when neither case can be proven. That's a perfect divisive mechanism, and that is why that has been inserted right now as this police state is coming online, because the response to this system really was building. There were a lot of people who were becoming aware of what's going on, and there were a lot of groups that were coordinating. There was a lot of feeling that something good could happen and that we could actually rise up as one race and one species and reclaim this world. There was that feeling about 18 months or 2 years ago, but now most of the time people are either screaming out fear and screaming out about Islamophobia, or they are arguing amongst each other regarding the shape of the construct that they are living in. So what we need to do now, folks, as the independent media, is attempt to find some way of salvaging this movement and to create a little bit of unity again. With that in mind, even though I said I really do not wish to discuss the Flat Earth topic anymore, with that in mind, I've actually accepted an offer to go on to a Flat Earth panel to have a roundtable discussion with two or three Flat Earthers sometime in the next week or two. And I'm doing so just once and just in an attempt to interject some sanity into the Flat Earth, Globe Earth debate, because it really has become a dogmatic battle of egos, and we have to try to get some sanity and some respect into the dialogue between these two camps if we are ever going to salvage any response to this system. I just think it's important that this issue be addressed, because it has been such an effective divisive mechanism, and that is exactly how a PSYOP works, folks. You know, you interject a circular argument that can never be answered to anybody's satisfaction, you get both sides fighting amongst each other about the grandest conspiracy of all time, and you lock the police state around them while they're busy. And that's exactly what's happening, folks. So you just look at the world today and look at what has happened since the Flat Earthers and the Globe Earthers went at loggerheads with each other. And there it is, right there. That's how PSYOP works, and it's been a very effective mechanism. But there is still time to salvage the movement, I believe. As I've said so often, I do have a great deal of faith in humanity. I really believe we can rise above all of this. We can learn to respect each other, and we can push this forward. So well, that's why I'm going to go onto that panel and have a little bit of a discussion with these people and see if we can come to some sort of mutual, respectful position where we can actually address the real problems of this world. And truly, I think it's important that we do, folks. I mean, there are millions of people around the world that are suffering right now. There are thousands upon thousands of people dying. There are people being bombed. There are people being starved. There are people in incredible states of hardship right now. And we have the ability to rectify and heal all of these situations if we would only pay attention for just a little while. Just a little while. Just enough to get us out of this mess and establish the freedom that we've always wanted. So then we can put an answer to all of these mysteries and all of these puzzles that we spend so much time arguing about. I really think it's a matter of priorities, folks, and we need to get our focus right while we still have time to do it. You know, there's a lot of talk out there that we are heading for a great time, a golden age, and there's every possibility that we can have that. But what we have to understand is that it's our choice, it's our actions, it's our consciousness, it's where we are. It isn't just being in the right vibration and the right energetic state and focusing on good things. It's about applying those energies to the world that you live in. You know, as I've often said, this is a 3D reality. You're here for a reason, and that is because changing this reality into what we want it to be requires your participation. That's why you are here. You are here to participate. You're not here to go down pathways of dogma and to argue with each other about whose idea is right and to state absolutes on things that you really don't know yet. What you're here to do is to create. And we are on the verge of something incredible, or we have the potential to create something incredible, but we are quite literally walking on a knife edge at the moment, folks, because there are forces in this world that are very dark. And there's a big shadow in this reality that is doing very bad things. If you don't think that's happening, just take a look around you. It's happening, folks. It's happening all around us. But we have a choice to make it something different. We have a choice to step into our humanity and to simply call this whole system out for what it is. The world is run by criminals. It's run by psychopaths. We don't have government. We have kakistocracy. We don't have nations. We have department stores. We don't have a free world. We have a controlled world, and it's controlled by a very small group of criminals who've maneuvered themselves into positions of power and who are doing very terrible things. And they're doing so because we constantly spend our time arguing amongst each other rather than stepping into our humanity, respecting each other, and simply standing up and calling this system out for what it is. You know, if we were to do that, folks, all of the answers to all of our questions would become available to us. That's the point, you see. That's why it's no good getting stuck in circular arguments. That's why it's no good locking yourself into a belief system, stating absolutes, and attacking anyone who doesn't buy into the way you think. Because all people are going to think differently. That's what people do. That's what we are. We are different. We are unique. Each one of us is unique. Each one of us is completely individual, but each one of us is connected to each other one of us, and each one of us is connected to all that is. And if we can realize that and respect each other and respect that knowledge of our connection to everything, and respect the knowledge of the energetic nature of reality and what our thoughts do and what our thoughts create and what all of this division is really for, then we can find a way through it. You know, I truly believe we could change the world in a day. We really could if we were to just change our perspective. We could change it in 3 seconds if we just changed our perspective. We really could. You know, is that going to happen? No, I don't think it is, because people are not prepared to change their perspective. People are too concerned with who they are and what their opinion is and enforcing it on others and stating absolutes. It doesn't get us anywhere. It never has. That's been the problem all along. And that's why all these rabbit holes have been put there. That's why all this finger pointing is available to us. That's why all these arguments are generated. And that's why all these circular arguments are inserted into the field. Because it just keeps us clutching at straws, wondering what's really going on, and arguing with each other because we find stuff that reinforces our belief system. We lock ourselves into it and we refuse to keep an open mind. You know, I've had people, flat earthers, accusing me of not having an open mind because I will not lock myself into the flat earth belief system. And I've already stated on many occasions, there is no absolute on any model that's been put forth to explain the shape of this construct. So why am I required to lock myself into one particular belief system when, having an analytical mind, I simply cannot find enough evidence to be able to do so? And that's the problem. Because I'm keeping an open mind and I'm not prepared to lock myself into any belief until I have the freedom to establish that belief to be true, then I'm accused of having a closed mind, and that's how these arguments work. And it's the same with the globe earthers and the flat earthers, the way they both speak to each other. Both accuse the others of having closed minds. When it could be perhaps that anybody who states an absolute on anything is the one whose mind is truly closed. That's how these arguments work, that's how a psyop works, and that's why all of these things have been interjected into the movement. And I think it's very, very important that people see this and see how they're being played. And I said on a show recently, look, ultimately nobody knows anything. And I got a little bit of flack for saying that. But really, if you think about it, all we can do is have an opinion on the information that we've been presented with. That's all we can really know. And if we claim that we know it and we state it as an absolute, then what do we really know? Because once we state an absolute, we've closed our mind to all other possibilities and we've left the path of knowledge. That's how it works, folks. And that's why nobody ever really knows anything. And we will not know anything truly to be sure and truly to be true until we've established the freedom to find out. We need to change the human condition before we can state an absolute on anything. Now, again, I think it's important that people look at things this way and realize that that's what reality is. It's a path to discovery, and we are not yet in a position where we have really discovered that much at all. We haven't even really discovered ourselves, and that's very well indicated by the way we continue to fight and attack and state absolutes. But I don't know, folks. Like I said, I still have a great deal of faith in mankind. I still have a great deal of faith in our ability to get ourselves out of this mess. I really do. I think all these sorts of things are tests. I think even this whole division that we've seen with this whole flat earth, globe earth debate is just a test for us. It's a test to see if we can see how we're being played. It's a test to see how a psyop works. It's a test to see whether we can learn to respect each other in situations of vastly conflicting ideas. And again, saying it's a psyop, folks, I'm not taking a position. It's not about that. It's not about the shape of the construct. It's about how it's been played. I think maybe this is a way of bringing us together, even if we can find a way of seeing that and seeing that it's a play. You know, in fact, a lot of the information the Flat Earth guys have brought out, it's all quite interesting in as much as it shows you how conflicting science actually is and how a lot of the stuff we're told simply isn't true. So it's been very effective in that way, but it's the stating of absolutes that is the problem. And it's the demanding of each side to state their case and prove their case when each case cannot be proven. That is the part that people need to look at, because that is how a psyop works. It's the circular argument that has come with this debate, and the absolutes people have stated and the animosity that they are directing at those who will not buy into their absolute position. And this is a play, folks. It's an absolute play, but again, it's created a lot of unity in some way. It has created a lot of unity. At least all of the flat earthers are there basically on the one side. So if they can just step back a little bit and start looking at things from a more realistic perspective and see that it isn't actually about the shape of the construct, it's about how the movement is being used and the mindset that's been interjected into the movement, then we may actually get somewhere and we may actually be able to create a little bit of unity out of this and salvage this movement. It's a really important time, folks. It really is. It's important that we put all this stuff down and we take some sort of a move to establish freedom. It really is, because this is the time that we can do it. I mean, I don't think there's a more important time in history. I really don't. And I think that if we miss this opportunity, we're going to be kicking ourselves. We really are. We're going to be really annoyed that we didn't do it. In fact, I don't think it'll be us kicking ourselves. I think we'll probably be getting kicked by the powers that believe they be, and the powers that will be, if we allow this to continue and don't put down all this stuff, you know. We've really got to get some respect happening, folks. We really do. So anyway, I hope this little stint on this Flat Earth panel, I hope it's a respectful discussion and we are able to actually start looking at things a little bit more realistically. Perhaps it will all be worthwhile. It will create a little bit of unity. So that's why I'm going to do it, folks. All these things are tests, folks. They really are. I believe they are anyway. I think all of these things are tests. They're tests of our patience. They're tests of our understanding, tests of our path to knowledge, tests of seeing how open we really are. And yeah, we all get caught. We all have outbursts. We all make mistakes. We all lash out. We all get frustrated. We all get withdrawn. We all get depressed. We all have problems with dealing with this system. And it's no surprise that we do. And we do lash out, folks. Of course we do. I mean, I lashed out at Santos Panacci the other day on that little outburst, but that was an after show outburst. And frankly, I'm tired of being attacked. I really am. I'm tired of people sending me hate mail. I'm tired of people sending me death threats. And I'm certainly tired of someone like Santos. I mean, I know he's having a breakdown. It seems pretty obvious that he is, but I'm tired of people like this making false accusations about me. And when he goes on air and tells people that I'm a corporate thug and I'm paid by the government to spread disinformation and that he actually is going to take steps to see me in jail, well, I guess it generates a response from me. And folks, I may come onto the radio show here and be nice and calm and nice and polite, but hey, I'm a Scorpio and I've had months and months upon months of hate mail and death threats from flat earthers, and my father's just recently died as well. But I tell you, folks, I'm a Scorpio, and as calm as I may be in my demeanor, if you push me enough, I will respond and I will sting the hell out of you, because that's just the way I am. So I make no apologies for the response that I posted in that rant that I posted the other day, because frankly, things have just gotten a little frustrating for me as well, as much as I'm sure they have for everybody else. But folks, I'm human. I have emotions and I feel things too. And sometimes it's best to just let everything out. And that's what I did in that rather candid off-air discussion. So again, folks, I know it may have offended some people, but I absolutely make no apologies for what I said on that little off-air rant, and I make no apologies for making some sort of a response to the incredibly toxic accusations that have been made against me by someone who came to my house and someone who I accepted into my home as a friend, someone who's actually come to my house and done ceremony here, and someone who actually has the gall to be wearing one of my t-shirts while he makes all of these incredibly toxic accusations about me while claiming spirituality. So I felt quite offended by that, folks, and I have no qualms in saying so. It's been quite a trying year for me, and as I said, sometimes we just have to let it all out. But anyway, it's done now, and as I said, that will be my first and final say on that matter. But there's still hope, folks. I mean, I forgive him the way I forgive everybody. I don't even hate the rulers, folks. I don't even hate the people that are doing all of this stuff to the world. I forgive them too. I just think they're psychopathic lunatics that probably should be doing other things. So I think this is an opportunity for us to do something about that, folks. So hopefully we are going to get a little bit of unity this year. I think this is an important year. I really do. I think we are on the knife edge right now. I think 2016, 2017, they're going to see the time when mankind seals its fate. Whether it's a good fate or a bad fate is up to us. But I think we have the potential to make it something really good, because I think the system is so online now, and it's so in everybody's faces now, and everybody in the world can see that there is a terrible problem, and I think the opportunities rise with every new soul that is awakened. Of course, the powers that believe they be are attempting to circumvent this awakening by just ramping up the terror, ramping up the war on terror, ramping up all the bombing campaigns and all the things they're doing. This is, of course, being done to instill fear into the people and to train them that they need their government, because everybody's realizing that they don't, that the government is actually the source of all of our woes and problems. And so they do this to attempt to convince the people that they need the government there to protect them. They need more police. They need more laws. They need the nanny state, because the terrible terrorists are hiding around every corner. When in fact it's all contrived, folks. The whole thing is contrived. And again, you know, when we look at all of this, we look at all of these things that are going on, and it comes down again to processing light. That's always been what it's about. You know, when we look at all of this information, it's how we process the information. And we've got to understand that what our media is telling us and the stories that our government are feeding us are not real stories, and they're being fed to us in such a way as to lock us into this fear vibration and to trick us into believing that we need the very people that are carrying out the crimes to protect us. It's basically just a big protection racket. That's really what this whole war on terror is, folks. Apart from being a war for greater Israel, which we all know it is, it's actually a protection racket, because that's kind of the way they run it in all of our societies. That's the way they've run it with the 7/7 bombings. That's the way they've run it with the Paris bombings. That's, of course, the way they're going to run it with the attacks that we've just seen in Belgium as well. It's all basically a protection racket, folks, to train us that we need the nanny state to look after us, and we need to escalate the conflict. We need to have less sympathy to people who are becoming casualties and refugees because of the conflicts that we are creating all around the world, and we need to distrust everybody around us and to remain in fear so that our government can keep us safe from the boogeyman. That's what it's all about, folks. It's a perfect way to lock the world into a police state. And of course, as I said before, they're making sure that all of the response to this system is divided and people are kept arguing amongst each other. So I really would suggest that people put down their rabbit holes for now and just go outside and have a bit of a look around and check out what's going on in their neighborhood and check out what their politicians are doing. Maybe watch a little bit of Question Time in Parliament and see what these people are actually up to, and maybe go out and read a couple of newspapers just to see what is being pushed into the minds of the general populace, because we have an opportunity here to be able to circumvent this. We have all the means at our disposal to be able to circumvent it. And if we were to do so, again, folks, we could then open up all of our rabbit holes again, and we could actually find what the answers are to all these mysteries that we've been investigating for so long. Now, this is the way we're being played. This is why the movement is being played the way it is, because this is the level of opportunity that this time and the knowledge that mankind now has provides for mankind to be able to establish their freedom. That's the level of opportunity, folks. We can actually free the human race, the entire human race. We could free them all at this time if we could simply gain our focus. And if we can learn to respect each other, then I think we're going to get that. But we have to get this focus. We've really got to focus on what the root cause of the problem is. And the root cause of the problem is not that people have lied to us about the shape of the construct, whether they have or not. We can't prove they have. It's establishing the freedom to prove whether they have or not. It's establishing the freedom to open up all these rabbit holes. It's establishing the freedom that the human race has always wanted, has always needed, and has always deserved. We have that level of opportunity available to us right now, if we could just gain a little bit of focus. And I truly believe that, folks. I truly believe it. I think this is the most important time in human history. Well, at least one of the most important times in human history. Actually, no, the most important time, because this is the moment. This is, like I said, the time we are on knife edge. This is the time when human freedom can, for the first time, at last be established. But again, we're on a knife edge because it's also the time when absolute human slavery can also be established. And the choice as to which way we are going to go lies directly in the hearts of the people. And it's so important that people pay attention to that one fact, because it is a fact. And all you have to do is look around you to see the reality of it. You know, it's been a hard struggle, folks. It's been a hard journey. It's been a hard quest, this journey for knowledge, this quest for freedom, this push for freedom that we're now seeing in the world, this great awakening. It's been a hard struggle for everybody to get to the bottom of the rabbit hole and to find out what the real truth is. And it's something that's in our grasp now, to actually find that truth. But nobody knows what that truth is, because we still haven't established freedom for the human condition. We still haven't kept our minds open enough to really be able to let true knowledge flow into us. Too often we lock ourselves into belief systems in so many aspects of the things that we research. And I've researched for my entire life. And I had locked myself into belief systems as well, but it's got to the point now where I simply don't believe anything that I have not experienced to myself. And I think that's the most sane way to look at it. Because ultimately I can prove anything you want me to prove, because all the information has been put there for us to be able to do so. The question is, how much of that information is viable? How much of it is true? How much of it is reliable? You know, ultimately, all we can know is that we don't know what's going on, because we don't. I've tried to figure out what's going on my entire life, and I've been more open to most suggestions than most people. I really have. I've really kept an open mind with a lot of things, folks. I am not locked into any belief system. Even with what I say about the energetic universe and all the things that I put forth, this is just the stuff that really I've experienced myself. And really, even if you look at science, if you look at meditation, you look at things, look at particles, look at how it goes down to a micro level, and it all becomes energy, it all becomes waves, it all becomes photon light and photon sound, it all just becomes particles of energy, not even particles, just waves of energy, just frequencies of energy. This is ultimately what everything comes down to. And in my experience, it's the energy itself that is conscious, and that's where we come from, because that's where everything comes from. But hey, am I locked into that belief? No, I'm not. I'm open to suggestion. I'm simply stating what my experience is, because I believe it may help others if they can learn to look at the world that way, because it has certainly helped me. But we are on an incredible journey here, folks. We are on an incredible journey for knowledge if we can just get out of our belief systems, get out of these constructs that we create for ourselves. Because there's always another way of looking at things, regardless of what you're looking at now, there's always another way. And we have a real opportunity here. I truly believe we have an opportunity for freedom if we can just put all of our stuff down. As I said, you know, there's a certain amount of unity in the Flat Earth movement. If they can remove the dogmatic approach that they're having to things and open their minds a little bit to the possibility of other things and the possibility of them not actually knowing yet, but the opportunity that knowing that they've been lied to by science provides for them, if they can just approach it in the right way and present it to people in the right way, then the movement has a chance of actually doing something good. But at the moment, it's being played as a divisive mechanism, because it's a circular argument, because both sides are stating absolutes. And it's so important in all the things that we do and all the things that we research that we do not state absolutes, because ultimately we really don't know. But look, I think we are at the end of the show here, folks. I think I've run completely out of time. Quite a personal show here for you today. But I think it's an important time in history, folks. I think it's time we all come out and put ourselves on the line and express who we are and really stand up to make a difference in the world, because this is the time that it's really going to make a difference if we do so. But that really is it for me, folks. I've completely run out of time. Thanks to all the people who listen to the show and have listened to the show for so many years. And thank you to all the people who send me such kind email and such supportive comments and all the things you do for me and say for me. You know, it is really your energy that you give to me is what keeps me going. It really is. You know, so many people send me kind words and so many people say that the show is help, and that is really what keeps me going, and that provides my food. So thank you so much for that, and thank you to anybody who's ever helped with the website. They really are few and far between, but thank you when people can help, I really do appreciate it. It's all that keeps it going. And I look forward to speaking to you next week. I should be able to get a show done next week. And please take very good care until then. In Lakesh, my friends. In Lakesh.